July has been a real scorcher, and August is likely to be just as hot or even hotter, so we thought it would be an excellent time to talk about the sun and sun tanning on this week's edition of Please Explain. What actually happens to our skin when we work and play in the summer sun? Joining me is Dr. Monica Halem. She's a clinical associate professor of dermatology at Columbia University, New York Presbyterian Hospital. Welcome to our show.
Thank you very much for having me.
Now, the skin is an organ, so I guess it just doesn't lie there. How active is it?
So the skin actually is one of the body's biggest organs, and there's three main layers of the skin. There's the epidermis, the dermis, and the subcutaneous fat layer. The epidermis actually is the thin outer layer of our skin, which really protects our skin both from trauma as well as from bacteria, viruses, and other foreign substances entering the skin. It consists of cells called keratinocytes and melanocytes and a Langerhans cell, which actually is part of our immune system. That's part of the epidermis. The dermis, which is the next layer of the skin, is a much thicker layer. And this layer encompasses our collagen, elastin, and fibrin. And this is what gives our skin flexibility and strength. Within the dermis, we have nerve endings, blood vessels, hair follicles, as well as sweat glands. The fat, which is the third layer of skin, is really what gives us the insulation and our protective padding for when we're out playing in the sun, as well as the storage of energy for energy storage.
When we expose ourselves to sunlight, how many of those layers of skin are actually affected?
You know, all the layers are pretty much affected. It just depends on the wavelength of the ultraviolet radiation.
And is it true that when the sun's rays penetrate these layers, the melanocytes produce melanin?
Right. That's exactly what happens. So you actually, when the ultraviolet radiation hits the skin, it penetrates the epidermis and into the dermis and actually causes the melanocytes, which sit on the in the basal layer of the epidermis, to actually produce melanin. And what melanin does is melanin actually absorbs the UV radiation and turns it into heat so that UVA radiation doesn't penetrate the body. The more sun exposure you have, the more melanin that gets produced, which is what gives us our tan.
But when people have an operation for melanoma, you can actually see certain cells are darker than other cells.
Right.
So that's when the melanin has gone too far?
That's when the melanocytes have gone too far. So the melanocytes is actually the cell that makes the melanin. They produce the melanin. That's their protein that they make. But when ultraviolet radiation and after extensive exposure, that melanocyte becomes damaged and causes DNA damage within that melanocyte, causing it to produce abnormal cell growth pattern, meaning it grows apparently not in a normal way. And when you do look at a melanoma, which is the tumor that's the end product of damage to the melanocyte, you will see it be a darker color.
When we spread ourselves out on a beach towel and bask in the sun, it can feel as though our skin is actually cooking. Is that what's happening?
That's exactly what's happening. You're actually cooking your skin through the heat that's produced by ultraviolet radiation. So every time that sun ray hits your skin and contains the UV radiation, it causes what's called DNA damage. And on a cellular level, what happens is that ultraviolet radiation damages the cell, damages the DNA, and causes what we call D-dimers or free radicals. Over time, this disrupts the DNA of the damage. The DNA cannot repair itself, leading to abnormal cell growth or a tumor, skin cancer, damages the collagen, elastin, and fibrin, leads also to skin dyspigmentation as well as lowering your immune system.
So we usually associate a tan with good health, but it sounds like there's nothing good about sunbathing.
There's nothing good. So short term, it may look like you have a glowing complexion, but sun obtained from the sun or a tanning bed actually is causing damage. So we like to say that there's no tan is a good tan.
Well, there used to be this idea that if you got a gradual tan, you just got a little bit baked slowly each day, you weren't damaging your skin. Is there any truth to that?
There's no truth to that. It just actually prevents you from burning, but you're still causing the DNA damage.
What process leads to the peeling skin?
That's just the skin normalizing itself after a burn. the keratinocytes, which sit on the bottom of the skin, actually come to the surface. The new ones come up, and the dead ones, which are the burnt ones, actually just fall off.
Did different types of skin respond differently? Are people with darker skin better protected from sun damage?
They are better protected only because the melanin absorbs the ultraviolet radiation. However, over the past 10, 20 years, we've been seeing a lot of skin cancer, both in African American as well as Hispanic skin. So yes, you are protected, but you're not protected 100%.
And why is that? Is it because of the changes of the ozone layer?
Probably. Either that or we're picking it up quicker.
And noticing that that people of color are just as likely, well, not just as likely, but are also likely to get melanoma.
They are, certainly.
Can damage from sunburns in childhood produce melanoma when you're an adult?
Yes. So it's a cumulative effect of sun damage over time. So one of the things people say is it's often, it's too late for me to start protecting myself. And it's really not too late because it's a cumulative effect. One of the main risks of getting skin cancer later on is having a very bad burn early in childhood. So that's one of the risks for skin cancer.
Now, if we put on sunscreen, are we less likely to get that kind of burn?
You are. So sunscreen, sun protection is the principal means of preventing both premature aging as well as skin cancer. It really protects the sun. And what SPF stands for is sun protection factor. And it's basically a number that's written on there, and it basically represents our ultraviolet B radiation protection.
We've been talking about the skin. Should we talk about the sun as well?
Sure.
Most of us have heard of UVA and UVB, but may not understand what those terms mean. What's the difference between the wavelengths?
So there's three main wavelengths for sunlight. Ultraviolet C, which is the shortest wavelength, and it's from 100 to 280 nanometers. Then there's ultraviolet B, which is 280 to 320 nanometers, a little bit longer. And then there's ultraviolet A, which is our longest wavelength of ultraviolet radiation. Now, C is the most harmful, but it is the shortest wavelength, so it does not penetrate the ozone layer. Ultraviolet B is what causes our sunburn, and I usually like the B related to sunburn. And that's what causes most of our skin cancer, and that's when you go out in the sun and you get, you know, red from being in the sun. Ultraviolet A penetrates much deeper than ultraviolet B. It does not cause the sunburn, but does cause tanning, wrinkles, and skin cancer. Ultraviolet A is important because it often passes through clouds and glass in our cars and through windows.
So the A is the reason that people wrinkle when they get suntanned?
Right. Causes most of the wrinkling.
Now, a lot of people wrinkle after they've smoked for years. Is that just a totally different process?
It's actually the same mechanism. Eventually, what smoking and ultraviolet radiation does is it causes free radicals, and those free radicals damage the DNA.
And there's this elastin. You mentioned elastin. How is that affected by this?
So, again, the elastin is broken up by the ultraviolet radiation as well as from cigarette smoke. It's the free radicals that actually damage the elastin, collagen, and fibrin. And that's what leads to the loss of volume, the deep wrinkling, the thinning of the dermis and epidermis, as well as the loss of elasticity.
When people, of course, people wrinkle differently. Mm-hmm. Should I assume that people who don't go out in the sun much are at least making it less likely that they're going to seriously wrinkle when they get older?
Yes. The sun is the number one cause of premature aging and skin cancer.
My guest is Dr. Monica Halem, a clinical associate professor of dermatology at Columbia University, New York Presbyterian Hospital. We're talking about sun tans, sun burns, and related matters on today's Please Explain. This is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate, and we will be taking your calls in a little while. Our number here is 212-433-9692. That's 212-433-WNYC. Are there parts of the world where exposure is more dangerous than others?
There are. So in areas that are closer to the equator where the ozone layer is much thinner, for example, Australia, the incidence of skin cancer are much higher. And in fact, if you go to Australia, they have several programs that are implemented to start protecting children from when they're very young. Most of their playgrounds are all enclosed in a have a shaded area. So they're pretty on top of everything.
So when people go south because they want to go to a good beach, the Caribbean, Florida, or Central America, they're really putting themselves into more danger?
You are, yes.
Now, a listener wonders, says everyone gets a bad burn when they're a child. So are we all basically screwed?
Well, you're all at risk, yes. I mean, you know, the more frequent burns you get, the worse off you are.
And then there's, of course, genetic predisposition, isn't there? Some I could have gotten terrible burns throughout my childhood without any, without getting cancer, and somebody else could have gotten fewer burns but have gotten cancer.
So there are risks for skin cancer. Some of them include, and these are also genetic predisposition, light eyes, hair, light skin type, frequent burns, which we went over. People that have a lot of moles or atypical-looking moles, usually we like to say greater than 50 moles, a family or personal history of skin cancer, those people are more at risk, as well as people that are on any kind of immunosuppression medication, like a transplant patient or patient who's undergoing chemotherapy for cancer. These patients are often at increased risk for skin cancer.
A listener, Diana, writes, I get brown spots and freckles on my hands even though I apply a lot of 70 SPF sunscreen. What's the sunscreen really doing?
So the sunscreen is helping. The sunscreen is not 100% protective. So just because you put on sunscreen doesn't mean, shouldn't give you a false sense of security that you're not getting some ultraviolet radiation. So there's certain things I like to tell my patients, and one is you want to make sure that you reapply it every 2 hours. A lot of times in the water, you may wash your hands, you may perspire. It actually gets rid of the sunscreen. So you want to make sure you do that. And you also want to make sure that you apply a good amount on your hands. If you apply a thin layer, it's really not protecting. You want to take about an ounce, we like to say an ounce or a shot glass, and you want to use it on all the areas that are exposed. It's a good thing that she is protecting her hands because people often forget about their hands. But you also want to get your ears, your eyes, your lips, the back of your neck, and your chest.
Ken writes, I've read that a chemical that protects against UV rays is available in European sunscreens, but not here in the United States. Can you explain why we aren't being protected here? And are there better sunscreens available in Canada?
That's a great question, and the FDA is in the process now of looking at some of these more potent sunscreens, and what they have in Europe that we don't have here is a longer ultraviolet A radiation protection. Currently in the United States, our sunscreen that we do have does say broad spectrum UVA, UVB. However, it only covers the shorter UVA protection. So the FDA is looking at this, and they're also going to be starting soon what we call a star rating monitor system. So instead of just an SPF on your sunscreen bottle, you will also have a star, which will tell you how much UVA protection you're getting.
Now, why is it taking so long? I remember reading in the New York Times at least 7 or 8 years ago that you could get this other kind of sunscreen in France, and had friends who would bring it back. Is there a problem with it?
There's not a problem with it. It's just that the FDA has not approved it yet.
Oh, well, that usually means there's some political problem. We want to put James on the air. James from Manhattan, hi.
Hi. I heard that actually in Australia, there was a pharmaceutical company trying to develop a pill that you could take which would stimulate the production of melanin, and you could get a tan in a pill. I was wondering if you'd heard anything about that or if it seems feasible to you just chemically and pharmacologically.
I have heard about it, and again, the FDA has not looked at it yet. However, what I've read about it is that it's actually not such a great thing because it also tans your organs inside, and they're not sure how safe that is. So it doesn't just tan your skin, but it also may cause some internal problems.
I see.
And who wants to have a tan liver anyway?
Right.
Amy from Manhattan, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I just had a question. Like, say you put on sunblock and you do it really well and you cover in half an hour before and you cover yourself perfectly with sunblock, can you still get damage from the sun? like, is the sun really inherently damaging? And then there's something that even, you know, if you're covered head to toe, that the sunblock just doesn't protect.
Well, you know, the sunblock is not 100% protection. So I like to think of it as just one part of a bigger picture. So you want to put your sunscreen on. You want to put it on every day, whether it's sunny out, cloudy out, raining out, winter time. Just make that part of your routine. But if you are going to be outside, I would try to wear, you know, sun protective clothing. Make sure you wear a broad rim hat that covers your ears. You seek shade. If you're walking in the street and there's a shady side and a sunny side, you want to go to the shady side. You want to protect your children, which we often forget. You want to use extra caution near water or snow. So these are some of the things that I like to implement as well as sunscreen.
Now, John asks, doesn't exposure to the sun trigger the production of vitamin D in our bodies?
It does.
Can one get enough of that without damaging one's skin?
You can. So it does produce vitamin D. However, you shouldn't be as concerned if you're eating a healthy diet as well as taking a multivitamin. You get enough vitamin D through that. The risk of being out in the sun outweighs the risk of not having enough vitamin D.
We're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we'll take more calls from our listeners and comments on our show page at WNYC.org. Our number here is 212-433-9692. That's 212-433-WNYC. My guest on today's Please Explain is Dr. Monica Halem, a clinical associate professor of dermatology at Columbia University, New York Presbyterian Hospital. Stay with us. That Venda La Vida loves silent films, or that music journalist Rob Sheffield watches Top Chef? Well, you can find out all kinds of unexpected things about our guests by going to our show page and clicking on Guest Picks. This is WNYC and WNYC.org. We're talking about suntans and sunburns on today's Please Explain with Dr. Monica Halem, clinical associate professor of dermatology at Columbia University, New York Presbyterian Hospital. And we asked our listeners on my Facebook page about how they treat sunburns, and some of their suggestions so far have been aloe, cold compresses, staying hydrated, marula oil, cold showers, cold cream. What's your response to those? Are they all good ideas?
They are. So there's two types of sunburns that you can get. There's a first-degree sunburn, and then there's a second-degree sunburn. The first-degree sunburn is usually just the redness and will heal with possibly some peeling. The best way to treat that is a cool bath, lots of moisturizers, as well as over-the-counter hydrocortisone cream can decrease the inflammation. I would avoid the cane products, because, like benzocaine or lidocaine, because it can often cause skin allergy or skin reaction. Second-degree sunburns are the ones where you get a blister, and those you want to make sure that you do not break the blister, because what the blister does is it serves as a protective barrier. So you just leave the blister there, and you just moisturize the area and keep it protected.
Now, when I was a kid, I used to love breaking that blister. So was I causing myself trouble?
Well, you increase your risk for infection.
Well, it's been a long time since I did that. Pavel from Norwalk, Connecticut. Hi, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I have a couple questions. Number one, about getting sunburned. When I was younger, I'm 74 now, but I was like 20 or 30, I was getting a lot of sunburns and my skin was coming down. But recently, about 15 years ago or so, when I heard about this research in southern states with selenium, I started to take selenium every day and vitamin E, because I had a lot of cancer in my family history. And I noticed that in later years, I don't have sunburn anymore. And second question about vitamin D. I'm taking daily my multivitamins, more so when I drink orange juice. It said it has vitamin D over there. And also soy milk has vitamin D. And nevertheless, every time I'm going to my physical, I'm finding that I have more than lower level of vitamin D produced by sun, and practically nothing produced by supplements, and I eat a lot of fish too. Can you please comment on this?
I don't think there's a way that they can tell which vitamin D you're producing. So, you know, and any vitamin D that you're producing is just fine. So I think you can get enough with supplements. You don't necessarily need to expose your skin to sunlight. Just the risk of skin cancer is much higher than any risk that you would get from not having enough vitamin D. So vitamin D supplementation works just fine. And I would talk to your doctor about maybe increasing your supplementation if you're worried about not having enough. As far as the other question, selenium and vitamin E are both antioxidants, and there's been several theories out there that antioxidants actually protect you from the free radicals that are formed from ultraviolet radiation. There is yet to be any studies done specifically looking at this as far as whether it does prevent skin cancer.
Thank you so much for your call, Pavel. Anne asks, is it possible to get rid of undue freckles or sunspots?
Best way to do that is, A, to wear sunscreen now so that they don't get any darker. And you'll notice that most of the time during the summer, they get darker. But the best way to treat that is with a laser procedure where they can remove all the freckles and dark spots.
We go now to Andrew from Manhattan. Hi, Andrew. You're on the air.
Yes, hi. Listening to the entire segment, and I guess somebody already brought up the issue of the vitamin D, but my question is more in general. It seems to me for a long time, based on the doctor's opinions and what people say in general, is there not any benefit at all to having an adequate amount of exposure to the sun as opposed to those people that are always indoors? I mean, I see a big difference in the vitality of somebody who spends time outside as opposed to always indoors. Is there any benefit at all with being in the sun for a balanced, normal amount of time?
I don't think it's the benefit of the sun that you're looking at. You're probably looking at the activity level of somebody who's outside. They're more likely to be more active. But as far as from a skin point of view, the sun, the ultraviolet radiation, just does damage the skin. Now, I'm not saying you need to give up, you know, going to the Caribbean, and of course you don't want to give up going on a boat or if that's what you love to do, playing golf, but you just want to take precaution and make sure that you can protect yourself in the best way you can.
We go now to Christopher from Manhattan. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello. I was wondering, how much does my shirt, beach umbrella, or parasol protect me from the sun, and what are the best fabrics for protecting yourself from the sun?
That's a great question. People often think that when they wear a T-shirt, a white cotton T-shirt, it has about an SPF of 2. So just because you're covered, you know, you're not really protected. So usually a darker, thicker fabric, obviously, would make you much more protected from the sun. And they actually make now sun-protective clothing and hats that have sunscreen in them. So you are getting some ultraviolet radiation. So darker colors, thicker protection, and online you can find many companies that make now clothing with SPF factor.
That white shirt is going to attract sun?
No, but it's only an SPF of 2, so it's only going to protect you to a factor of 2.
Valerie in Cold Spring, New York asks, why do some antibiotics make you more sensitive to the sun?
Just a reaction, so it revs up the cells in the skin and causes you to be a little bit sensitive to the sun.
Let's go to another caller, Joanne from Hastings-on-Hudson. Hi, you're on the air.
I just wondered if you got a really bad sunburn on your legs when you were a child, you know, that you had fever and had to stay in bed and so on and so on. Does it mean your legs then are more likely to develop a melanoma, or is it just a systemic reaction in later life?
No, it's a local area.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, it's probably best not to just have your legs looked at, but the rest of your skin as well, because even though you got a burn on your legs, you may have had sun exposure to the rest of your skin as well.
Thank you so much for calling us. Alice asks, is sunscreen safe for pregnant women? Is there a better or worse kind of sunscreen if you are pregnant?
Sunscreen is very safe for pregnant women. The FDA has done several studies on it, and it's very safe to use.
Jade asks, does it work to wash your clothes in a product that promises UV protection?
It does. That does help. There is a product out there called SunGuard, which you can actually use to wash your clothes, and it does put a little bit of ultraviolet protection in the clothing. But that's not the end all. So I want you to, you know, just because you do one thing, it's not 100% protective. It's really a combination of factors.
And what about those anti-glare things that you put on windows? Do they work?
That I don't know if those actually prevent penetration of ultraviolet radiation. I would check with the manufacturer on that. There are things that you can put on your car, because when you're driving in your car, you do get ultraviolet radiation coming through the window. We often see skin cancer on patients on their left side of people who drive a lot, their left arm, the left side of their face. So even though you're not getting burned, you are getting that ultraviolet A radiation.
Are burns, a listener asks, that you get from light reflecting off of the snow different from the burns you get when you're too hot?
Just the same.
So your skin doesn't cook in that case, but you never feel that it's too hot, but you're still getting, the glare is still having an effect.
Right, you're still getting the radiation.
Another listener asks if there are natural alternatives to chemical sunscreens.
There's two types of sunscreens. There's chemical blockers, and then there's physical blockers. The chemical blockers consist of avobenzone, and there's a whole list of oxybenzone. The physical blockers are your titanium and your zinc oxide. Those are probably your best coverage that we have here in the United States for UVA and UVB coverage.
Sandy from Newport Beach, California asks, even though I slather sunscreen on, my skin still turns brown. Does that mean my sunscreen isn't working?
It just means that you may have not applied enough. You may have not reapplied every 2 hours. You may have used a lower number of sunscreen. So I usually recommend a 30 or higher for every day. And then if you are going to be outside, I recommend 50 or higher.
And Sandy asks, does the browning mean that I don't know if it's a he or she, is getting damage to the skin?
Yes. So the browning is the melanocytes releasing the melanin and causing you to tan, which tells me that you are absorbing that ultraviolet radiation.
Amy from Manhattan, hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I was wondering, the caller who asked about the sun tanning pill,
mm-hmm.
and Dr. Halem said that it also adds melanin to internal organs. I know that there are some movement disorders that are caused by depletion of melanin in the skin. Things like there's some connection with Parkinsonism. There were the what they call the frozen addicts who used, I don't remember what the drug was, but they ended up paralyzed. And I wonder if this pill could, this side effect of tanning could be used to help them.
That's a good thought. I don't know. I'm not even sure if they've looked at that, but that's, that would make sense, something that to be studied.
Thanks for calling us. Marilyn from Syosset, you're on the air.
Yes. If you got some really bad sunburns when you were a teenager, we used to sit out with reflectors, and I had some peelings from time to time. Now I'm very diligent about using sunblock, can the damage be reversed?
It can't be reversed, but you can prevent the cumulative effect. So it's never too late to stop protecting yourself from the sun.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that it can be reversed, but you can be watched by your dermatologist, and you can also, continue to protect yourself so it doesn't accumulate.
I see. Okay, thank you.
Zach from New Jersey, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, good afternoon. Does having vitiligo require more care, and what are the chances of skin cancers in the future if one has vitiligo?
So what causes vitiligo is the lack of melanocytes. So vitiligo is a skin disorder which produces white hypopigmented spots. And the reason it's white is because you don't have any melanocytes in that area. So you are at increased risk of skin cancer in that area because the ultraviolet radiation, when it penetrates, it doesn't have anything to absorb it. So those areas need to be protected a lot better than the rest of your skin.
What kind of an SPF would be required then?
30 or higher, I would require.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling us. Our next caller is Erica from Pauling, New York. Hi, Erica.
Hi, Leonard. How are you? Thanks for taking the call. I'm a garden designer, and I'm in the sun all the time. And I'm very aware and cautious of, applying sunblock, and I've done a lot of research trying to find sunblocks that because I'm reapplying so often, that are not going to be harmful to me. So I've done research that suggests that avobenzone, oxybenzone, these kind of common SPF chemicals could potentially be carcinogenic or harmful to our skin. And I heard the question before about natural alternatives, but I'm wondering if you could comment a bit on that about, you know, about the helpfulness, and also as much as one is reapplying, and if you're applying SPFs that are of a higher number, if that increases any kind of harmful effect.
Isn't Senator Schumer calling for the FDA to examine carcinogens in sunscreens?
Yes, they are looking at the retinol palmitate, which is a chemical that they do put in sunscreen. There was a thing that came out by the Environmental Work Group just recently stating that retin A or vitamin A can actually become photocarcinogenic. Now, when I looked at the study, I did not find the evidence very conclusive. And in fact, the FDA, when they reexamined the study, did not find the evidence very conclusive at all. And in fact, in my practice, I actually use vitamin A or this retinol palmitate, which is a derivative of vitamin A, to actually prevent skin cancer. So I give my transplant patients vitamin A to actually help them prevent skin cancer. And many studies have been done that actually show that retin A or vitamin A actually prevents skin cancer. So I'm not convinced of this study that was just talked about all over the internet.
Another listener has asked about whether sunscreens have a hormone disruptor that can be detrimental.
There have been some theories about that. I have not seen any studies to show that that's conclusive.
Let's go to Walter from Alpine, New Jersey. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I was interested in the difference between basal cell carcinoma and melanoma.
There's three.
Both, I believe, are caused by sun exposure.
Right. Ultraviolet radiation is the number one cause of skin cancer. There are three main types of skin cancer. There's basal cell carcinoma, which is on one end, not very aggressive, can become locally a problem if you leave it long enough, but is directly related to the sun. The next one is a squamous cell carcinoma, which is somewhat in the middle of the spectrum, and that can be aggressive if left long enough and can go to other places, meaning metastasize to other places. On the opposite spectrum is melanoma, and that's the most deadliest form of skin cancer you can get. That is definitely caused by the sun. In fact, 75% of all skin cancer deaths are caused by melanoma. If caught early enough, melanoma is almost 100% curable. So if you have any question about any spot on your body, it's always best to have it checked out and make sure it's not a melanoma.
Thank you so much for your call. Karen from New Jersey, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks. I wanted to find out if there's any difference in terms of efficacy between, like, the thick, creamy lotions that you apply with your hands and the aerosol sprays, if the SPF is the same.
Right. I think, the SPF is the same. It's just a matter of comfort of what you like better. It comes in creams, gels, lotions. I find that a lot of men like the lotions or the sprays better. Whatever you use, it's fine. It's just important that you're consistent, that you apply a liberal amount, and that you reapply it every 2 hours.
Okay, super. Thanks.
We have Patricia from Manhattan on the line. Hi, Patricia. Oh, Patrick. I'm sorry. Patrick.
Hi. This question is about chemo prevention, so I'm not sure if you talked about statins or non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, but also the second part of the question is about stem cell research, and if you could talk a little bit about anything in that direction that helps to prevent the occurrence of these types of cancers.
All right. Well, we are looking a lot, especially here at Columbia, we're looking a lot at chemo prevention, but what we've been using is retin A or vitamin A, and we found that that actually limits the amount of skin cancers patients get. Now, we've used it mostly in our transplant patients because they're more susceptible to skin cancer, but a oral retin A or vitamin A does actually protect you. You can also get it in a topical form as a topical retin A, and that does help prevent skin cancer.
We have very little time, but we wanted to sneak Stephen in.
Getting the hell out of the way.
Stephen.
Yes?
You wanted to give it your question very quickly.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm at work. My question is basically, I work outdoors, and I always have to deal with the sun and everything like that, but I don't know, because I'm still tanning, I don't know if I'm just using the wrong sunblock or what else I could possibly do to help prevent.
And as a follow-up to that question, if you're out in the sun all day and don't have time to keep on applying more sunblock, are there certain sunblocks that last a long time?
So each of them lasts the same, but you really need to reapply it. If you can't, I would probably make sure you get a hat or maybe a hat with some protective with some protection in it, and just make sure you seek shade as much as you can.
A couple of callers have asked for us to give the name again of that white spots condition.
It's called vitiligo.
Uh-huh. And I assume some people have it and don't even realize that they have it.
They can. It's usually an area of dispigmentation or white spot on the skin.
Well, I want to thank you so much for being with us today. We've been talking about suntans and sunburns, and it sounds to me like someone like me, who people always make fun of for being too pale, that I'm actually doing the right thing.
It's actually a good thing.
My great thanks to Dr. Monica Halem, Clinical Associate Professor of Dermatology at Columbia University, New York Presbyterian Hospital, for being our guest today. It's been great.
Great. Thank you so much for having me.
On Monday's show, Michael Otterman discusses the devastating toll and human costs of the war in Iraq. Then Gary Steingart discusses his new novel, Super Sad True Love Story. Also, writer and fisherman Paul Greenberg explores the history of the four fish that dominate our menus, salmon, sea bass, cod, and tuna. Plus, troubled Guns N' Roses drummer Steven Adler on his appetite for self-destruction. The Leonard Lopate Show is produced by Blake Neshek, Stephen Valentino, and Julia Corcoran. Melissa Egan is the executive producer, and we had help today from Matt Gurry, Matt Joseloff, Todd McGovern, and contributing producer Bonnie Lefebvre. Dimitri Krasny was at the audio controls. I'm Leonard Lopate, your host. Thanks for listening. We will see you at noon on Monday.